Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your mind is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you lived in them. But now, put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and have put on a new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there cannot be a Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ in all and in all. Almighty God, we thank thee that thou art one to whom we can bring our requests and thankfulness. In this hour of meditation, we would ask that the words uttered, whether they be in song or speech, be delivered and received out of pure conviction and not as a matter of mere ritual. Help the things that we gather here this morning in our minds and souls to become dynamic in our personalities, and help our lives to be a credit to you and your service. Guide us through this service and help us to leave here with an understanding of the things that have gone on and realizing that our sole purpose on earth is for your glory. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. Amen.
With the following poem, Dr. Kearney Keegan opened the Student World Mission Congress in Nashville. And every time I read this poem, I find a new meaning as it applies to my new situation. Why are you here? Why? Are you more qualified than those you left behind? Are you more capable than they? Why are you here? Why? Why? Could it be that God has work for you to do? Work that no one else can do but you, once you see the need and hear the cry of humankind. While you're here, your ears can be unstopped, your eyes can be opened, and you will see the world in stark reality and know how much you do or do not care. But if through prayerlessness or faulty purpose on your part, you fail to hear and to heed the call of God, the cry of lost humanity, then Satan laughs. Our Savior weeps. These days have been in vain. Why are we here? Really? Have you stopped to ask yourself that question? Are we here in order that we might become better debaters? And if you happen to pass through Hunter Dorm about 12 at night, you might gather that's why some of us think we're here. Are we here in order that we might become more critical? And we do. but for what purpose? That we may be able to cry heresy or ignorant fundamentalist when we confront a man who believes that certain verses in the book of Revelation apply to the whole Bible, when we know they do not? Are we here in order that we might be able to sprinkle throughout our sermons a little church history and archaeology? I read of an Oxford student who, upon graduation, took a small rural church, and for his first sermon, he delivered one of the most detailed and the dullest church history lectures that you can imagine. Yet he thought this was vital to these people. And about middle way of his sermon, he noticed they were becoming more and more restless, so he just stopped. He thought a minute, and then with a look of enlightenment, he said, "Oh, I know what you're saying. Enough about this Cyril of Jerusalem. What about Theodore of Mopsuestia?" And to him, that was vital. But what good will all our knowledge do us if it cannot be vitally related to those with whom we come in contact? And this is a question I've asked myself over and over again. What good will this knowledge do us? When I first came to the seminary, I believe that I thought I would come here and receive all of the answers to all of the questions I had, and that everything we do here would be for out there somewhere. But the longer I stay here, the more I'm becoming convinced that a lot of what we receive here is not for our own proclamation, but for our own edification, that we might be stronger men and women of God. Edification of mind, edification of personality, edification of soul. But have we really been edified in any of these areas? Have we been edified in mind, or have we merely made good grades? And by that I don't mean to imply that those who make good grades are not edified and those who make the D's and the F's are edified. But I found it true from my own experience that often I'll sacrifice real learning for making good grades. And then, have we been edified in personality? Or are we just about the same as when we came here, if not a little less personable and therefore a little more selfish? And most important, have we been edified in our soul? While we've been here, have we been drawn closer to God? Have we been strengthened in our souls? Or have we seemingly lost a little of that assurance and serenity that comes from constant communication with God? We'll never know God fully. And perhaps even the closest we ever can come to God or ever can know God is in seeking God. But we are here for a greater purpose than to gain a store of facts. Of that, I'm confident. Bruner says that the devil could pass the most rigorous examination on dogmatic and biblical theology with distinction. And he goes on to say that long after a man has given up his faith, that he can continue to teach true doctrine. To Bruner, that's always available. But then he says this: there is one thing that he cannot continue to do. He cannot continue to pray to God from his heart. O Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. Restore us in our rightful mind and in a right relationship with Thee and with our fellow man. And may what we do here be for Thy glory, and so strengthen our lives and make us more Christ-like, that others might see Thee in us. In Christ's name we pray.